This is a podcast all about cancer with my best friend Nadia and me. We talk about our cancery journeys and navigating the cancery seas. This was recorded pre-COVID. Hi everyone, welcome back. My name's Maddie.
I'm Nadia.
Excuse me. And welcome back to our cancer chats. Yeah, last week we introduced ourselves and spoke a bit about our journeys and how we felt and the impact of it. And yeah, and then this week we thought we'd talk about relationships, other people, and other people's reactions.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a good one, isn't it?
That's a huge one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
gosh, well, I think there's been so many positives, actually, is the main thing that comes to mind, actually. Throughout this whole journey, what's been really beautiful about it and actually really great is, I think for me, like, it sounds really cheesy, but the love that you get, I have felt so much love and appreciation, and I've been over, it's been really overwhelmingly positive. I think particularly, actually in recent months, so the last of my stay in hospital, I hadn't been public about, I'd done anything on social media at all about cancer, blah, blah, blah. Apart from when my sister put something on. But yeah, apart from that, I hadn't put anything on anyway, and I just decided to put a post, right, I'm in hospital, blah, 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 this is the situation. And I had just so many messages from people I hadn't spoken to for years, you know, and it genuinely felt really, really, like, it was really, really positive.
Why do you think you didn't tell anyone? Why didn't you put it on Facebook and all of that?
I don't know. I think when I first got diagnosed, I think my app, you know, with my family and friends, obviously very open with them, and I told people at work because I had to, because, you know, I was going to be starting chemo, I thought, oh, my hair's going to fall out, and I'm going to do it work wise etc. And I was actually quite, you know, at work I thought, do you know what, because I think in my head I was like, this is a blip, it's going to be 6 months, blah, blah, blah. I'll be a bit funny about it. So I sent an email around to work saying, right, didn't really think I'd be sending an email like this, but got breast cancer, just found out. Quite lighthearted, I said the email. I said, but don't worry, you know, I'm going to be off for a bit. I'll be back in 6 months with a new pair of boobs, looking fabulous. And I was kind of like, well, I'll make a joke out of it. Out, you know, because I imagine people will feel quite uncomfortable. What do I say? I don't want to tiptoe around her and walk on eggshells. And I didn't want that. I just, I've realised about myself that I'm not very comfortable being vulnerable.
Yeah, well, people. I think most people identify with that, don't they?
Because
it's like,
you don't want to be
really vulnerable.
Exactly. And I think, yeah, it is. And I think I'm used to being a person, you know, doing support work and, you know, being more, I guess, sort of a mediator type person that, you know, with, you know, and so I've now, I felt like comfortable in a position where people can come to me and I listen to them and ask them. Whereas then you expose your, when you tell people about this, you feel quite exposed, like your vulnerability is quite exposed. So it was quite, you know, I thought, normally I wouldn't do that, but in this moment I thought, that's fine, because it's a blip, it wasn't like, this is it for me. So that was fine. But otherwise, publicly, like social media, I mean, I've only got a Facebook account. I didn't post, I didn't post anything on there at all, because I just didn't really, I didn't want to be like, oh, like people meet people thinking, oh, she wants some sympathy. I'm just not about that.
But what's really interesting, isn't it, is that everyone on Facebook and social media tries to portray this image of what we ideally are. So like having a great time, we're in these great places, eating the best food, oh my God, having so much fun, oh my God, everyone's having so much fun. But actually, so many people
are falling apart.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Yeah.
Bad days. Everyone's usually got some drama with their family.
Yeah.
Illness.
Yeah.
Death. Like, it's everywhere. But, and then you're not...
You could be honest. You could be honest and be like, this is me. But in my head, I felt like if I do that, people will be thinking like, oh, she's being all needy and wants some poor you sympathy.
But why would you think that?
Because that was my instant thought. I can't tell you why.
So that's what I'm saying, is like just caring what other people think, isn't it? And what people would have liked about that is, it's what I've learned is, when you're vulnerable, someone is vulnerable back. So if you tell someone something that's actually vulnerable to you, whatever it is, then it's like an exchange, because then they'll open up
and that's
true. And that sometimes starts such a lovely dialogue.
And that's exactly what happened when I went public.
When I went public.
When I came out. When I came out publicly with my cancer journey, was I got that. People were like, oh my God, this has happened to me. And just really were like, I'm so, you know, really nice things about being, I don't feel particularly brave, but so many comments about you being really strong and brave, you know, amazing, blah, blah. And actually, I'm going through this right now, or my mum's going through this, or people that have had cancer.
And people
really identify with the vulnerability, actually.
And I think it brings people some relief, because they're like, oh my God, like, I don't have to be perfect, and not everyone's perfect. And it's sort of you identifying. I think when you can identify someone and go, God, that's crap, like, me too, or
absolutely,
that must be awful.
It's not this perfect life that
then
people portray.
Then I think that's, we share something.
Totally.
You know, being human rather than it being all fabulous. And like the picture, you know, it was you on the hospital bed, and it was vulnerable, wasn't it?
Absolutely. About as vulnerable
as you get. But it's like, what's strong about it is that's the way you were at that
moment. Laying yourself bare, being like, fuck it.
And not like putting your lip gloss on and being like, oh, judge my hair up. It's like, that's the reality of what you were feeling at the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think there's loads of power in that. More power than, oh, I'm just having a fabulous time on this holiday or whatever.
Here's the dinner I've just bought myself.
Oh, bully for you.
But I think part of it was like, it means I don't have to have lots of, well, millions of conversations and explaining myself as and when, if my appearance changes, or so it basically was a way for me to kind of put it out there. So if I'm, you know, not feeling well, I don't have to explain myself. So that was kind of part of it. So that the reaction from people was amazing. The other thing I think I just felt for, like, my family, you know, we all got on reasonably well before, but we were never the sort of family, we don't go around every Sunday to mum and dad's for dinner. You know, we get on all right, we see each other a few times a year, and we have a good relationship. But I really feel like it's really brought us so close together. Yeah. It's been lovely. So that's been a really powerfully positive thing. And it sounds really cheesy, but I think all the love and everything, I remember just having, when I was in hospital, thinking, I really do feel like I truly know what the word love means. I really felt like overwhelmed by it. And that really helped me actually get through quite a crappy, understatement of the year, a couple of weeks. So that, I think, has been really, that's the really good stuff. In terms of other, like, negative stuff, other people, I think initially when I first told people at work and stuff, I could sense there was just a couple of awkward moments. I could sense people were a bit like, you know, do I say anything, do I not? And then I could see when they'd said something, they felt like it might be the wrong thing to say, them like beating themselves up in their own minds. And I've been like, do you know what, it's fine.
I also think people think they can catch it sometimes, like,
do you think so?
Somewhere in a weird sort of way, it's like, as soon as you say cancer, you can sometimes feel people's just like...
Do you think it's people either, I think you get people two types of ways. Either like, oh my God, I want to talk about this. Tell me about it. Are you okay? And other people like, I can't deal with this.
Why?
Because it's always about people's... I think when people respond, it's always about... And we're all like this. Their own selves. Like, oh, I want to say, oh, it'll be fine. Don't worry. Look, most people recover from cancer. You know, you've got breast cancer. That's the best one to have. Oh, you'll be fine. So many people that survive. You'll be all right. Just stay strong. Stay positive. Because it's about them
and
feeling
I'm
like...
punch you in the face. I'm actually going to punch you in the face. Sometimes that is...
But it's about them being like, oh, if I can say that, that will make her feel better and I don't have to deal with this.
Yeah.
But I get that, because it's a difficult thing. What do you say?
And it's all the stigma attached to it, which is why it's really important that you say that, you know, that people are going to react differently, but you have to let them do that, because you're talking about it. And I think if you're talking about it, you don't have this sort of secretive shame thing going on about it, because I think it is quite...
Is that something you felt?
Yeah, I would say, because I didn't tell anyone. I was doing a show for like 5 weeks at the time, and when I found heard the doctor said it had leaning towards lymphoma, I went to work, went to rehearsals, and my mum was like, you can't do that. And I said, well, what am I going to do? Just like sit and stare at the wall. I went to rehearsals and just like blocked it out and like ate some Haribo and just sat there and like learned harmonies. And it was like day 2 of rehearsal, so I didn't really know anyone. And I just looked like a bit of a crap company member rocking up 4 hours late, like, hi. And everyone like, ooh, where have you been, naughty? You're like,
on a date.
If only you knew.
Yeah.
So I was, and I think that was a shame thing. And like, why?
Because you don't want to be seen as vulnerable? Yeah. Is it that same thing?
And especially in theatre, I think it's so...
got to be fabulous, darling.
Hi, darling, it's all fine, it's all fine. Da, 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 da. And,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
When people are like, oh, what have you been up to this morning? And I've just been to the doctor and told that I've potentially got this horrendous disease. So I sort of carried it, but also compartmentalising, I think, really helps sometimes, because it's like if I'd opened that can of worms,
yeah,
I don't think I would have sort of got through almost, but it actually helped to like just sing and joke around with people and it helped. But I remember at the same time someone frauded my credit card.
Oh my god.
So I was getting calls from the bank saying, have you ordered 2 limousines from literally
that's like tragic. No,
I was
isn't
like
it?
What? And I was like, if that fucker knew what I'm going through at the moment, he's done that to my card.
You
it was
say that
so bizarre.
We got a letter, someone had opened up a bank account, a credit card in my partner's name.
Yeah.
Like literally last week. $5,500 credit. We were like, is this literally last week?
No.
But go back to, in terms of people's reactions for you, like what, the good, the bad, what are the things that strikes you about people's reactions?
I think people generally make it about themselves. Even the really nice people that are well-intentioned, I still think that people always would say to me, oh my god, what were your symptoms? Because they'd look at me and think, you look really young. You know what I mean? And they go, oh my god. I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I've got this. And they're like, oh, what were your symptoms? And then you can see the thought process in their head of like, and I was like, well, I didn't really have any. And then it freaks them out because they're like,
it could be me.
They're like, oh my god, but like, you must have something. I was like, I had a tiny lump in my neck, like it's really tiny.
Yeah,
and then, and they're like, oh my god, oh my god. And you can just see them.
Yeah.
Thinking I might be ill, da, 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 you know, which straight away takes away from you. And my sister, I remember I was in the hospital and I'd just been told it was stage 4. I remember speaking to my sister on the phone and she was like, you can't have stage 4. Hodgkin lymphoma is stage 4. It's only in men over 65. Like, I was, you know.
That's hilarious. Sorry.
Just being told by my amazing specialist that that's what it is.
And when did you qualify as a specialist in oncology?
The day before I got my results, I did tell one friend at work who's American, and I just told him, you know, towards the end, because I was like, oh Jesus, you know, I'll go nutty. And and he was like, well, I've done a bit of googling, like, do you want to know? And I was like, sod it, tell me, because I'm going tomorrow.
Dr. Google.
And he was like, well, they only have stage 4 in Africa because they don't have any immune systems there. So it'll only be 1 to 3 here.
Okay.
So then I went to the hospital and they were like, it's stage 4.
Wow.
And I was like, right, great.
That's amazing.
That was him. And then my mum was like, do you think it's because I dragged you off the breast at 6 months?
Oh my. Again, making it about her.
Yeah. Do you think it's because, I've always regretted that ever since. I've just, you dragged you off, dragged you off.
Wow.
You know, so it's, people just, I think, feel guilty and what could they have done, or...
And that's interesting, actually. My sister, I remember saying to me, she wondered, you know, she always felt like she'd been really stressed and unhealthy and it should have been her. And she wondered whether her behaviour had somehow caused it, or, you know, and I think that was in a moment of desperation, of like not understanding, not wanting to comprehend that this could possibly have happened to me.
Yeah.
And then... you know, just that was her way to, it kind of then goes in some weird tangent about, oh, it must be something I've done. Like, it's just, not, and I think that's not being able to, it's a trauma. And I have to say what I've noticed as well, you know, you are also very focused on yourself and it is your journey. But we do have to remember that actually other people are affected by this and it is a trauma for them. And I've picked up, although when my family have been talking about it, I'm aware and conscious that they're trying not to talk too much about their own feelings. But from little things they say, I find that people have been talking about to other people about it, about their trauma from my illness. And I kind of think, actually, yeah, this is upsetting for them. And I also have to remember, it's a journey for them. And obviously, you know, and again, that's you not really realizing, I suppose, how much you mean to people. But even like friends, you know, I've got local friends, other mum friends around here that I'm good friends with, but it's not like our lifelong friendship. But them talking about a friend that came around, she was talking about a mum about some health issue, and then she talked about how like I'd come up in a conversation and one of my really good friends is, you know, ill, and talking about me, and so I've affected someone's life, you know, my journey. And so I think it is, it's like a double, it's two sides. One side, you need in that moment when you're talking about how you're feeling, you need someone to just listen and be like, yeah, this is shit, this is awful. But at the same time, we need to also allow people that they're actually going through something as well. And it's sometimes hard because we are right in the middle of, it's us that our lives are at risk, I suppose. And you think, it's almost like you have these moments of feeling like, this is selfish, how dare you, this is about me 100%. I can't handle you offloading your feelings, this is not about you. But like I said, in the same instance, we need to allow people that time because they are affected by it, because they love us and care for us. So we need to allow them that space as well, I think.
I always felt like, you know, because we're both very strong and I was very strong in the face of it, so if there was any weakness, I could not bear it. So if it, you know, it's almost like, don't bring your feelings and your emotions,
don't start crying in front of me,
don't dare. Because I'm holding it to, just holding it together myself, and I can't carry you in this. So I've felt that very much. I totally think, you know, the longer it's been, it's like, it's so traumatic for everyone else because they have that thing of like, they don't want to be upset around you, but they want to be strong for you. But like with my mom, it was like she was trying to be so strong that I felt like she was ignoring everything. And I was like, do you know that I'm really ill and might die? Because my hair didn't fully go, it went thin, but it was still there. And my specialist said it would categorically fall out. So I was like, screw you. And because I actually looked better than I looked before I had treatment, because I think I was so ill and didn't realize, and I was so skinny. And my specialist said, you will actually, chemo aside, because that makes you feel awful, you'll feel better, and that's because you won't have this huge tumor anymore. So I actually looked better. So my mum was like, oh, she's got the chemo glow.
Great.
And so like when I found it the most difficult around sort of my family and my mum, because it's almost like, because her coping thing is to just be like, oh, it's all fine, it's all fine, it's all fine. But then I felt not acknowledged, and I felt like, if only you could see what's going on in my body. And I think that's the hard thing, isn't it? It's like, if you've got a broken leg, people are like, oh my God, let me do all these things. But if you've got cancer, but you look quite well and your hair's still there, then you don't look like there's anything wrong with you. So you're treated like you.
Which is a kind of funny thing, because on one hand, when you have got the real cancer look, no hair, headscarf, like you had, right? No eyelashes, etc., you just desperately want to look
normal.
But then I totally get, at the same time, when you're looking healthy and people are like, it's fine, you kind of like, exactly like you said. So it's kind of like, almost sometimes I feel like people are damned if they do, damned if they don't.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Agreed,
And but I guess it's just, it's a roller coaster, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about really positive stuff for you? What's come out of it for you that's been, in terms of people?
I met my girlfriend 2 days before I started chemo, which was weird. And my first like lesbian relationship had only come out about 3 months earlier. So it was my punishment from God. See, God hates gays, joking. So it was really serendipitous because his brother is my best friend, and I'd heard about Elaine for years and I'd just never met her. And then like 2 days before my treatment, she was depping on the show that I was working, so we met stage left of the ENO. And then I met her and I was like, just felt really like fuzzy, and like I've met her before. But obviously I'd put that to bed. I was like, I'm obviously never going to meet anyone in the next year, at least, because my hair's going to fall out. I've got cancer. That's
not
going to
be feeling
right?
My hottest. Yeah.
Exactly. And what do you do for your hobbies? The chemo, vomiting, having slight nervous breakdowns in Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
And so I'd really let that go, and then met Elaine. The first day I met her, I had long shoulder length hair. And then the second day I'd got it all cut off, because I thought, I am not letting my hair fall out in these long strands. I just couldn't deal with it. So I met her, and then she used to come around on a Sunday and bring cake, and we used to just chat for hours. And then it was, and it's almost like the summer of love, like summer of chemo.
Summer of chemo love.
And and she would always say, I don't see it. I don't see your cancer. Like, so I think she's very unusual because not a lot of people could sort of cope with it.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we'd be like flirting. I'd be having chemo, like sending little flirty texts and like.
God.
And the day that I went for my first scan and I was feeling very brave and she was in Bali.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to sort of send her an email and be like, this is how I feel. Because I was like, I don't need to meet a surfer girl in Bali.
Yeah.
And so I got the all clear. It was this day and I remember it really well. And I was drinking like a tiny bit of warm champagne in a mug. And like, and nice. I put this email together and I was like, used a Bridget Jones quote in from like, what did she say? I like you just the way you are. So I wrote that. Oh my
Brilliant.
God. And I was feeling brave, sort of sod it and then just sent it. And then she got back from Bali and then that was sort of it. And that was
together.
Like nearly, three and a half years ago. But
wow.
So it's almost like that was a really good thing of something so hideous. And I think that actually really helped me keep my spirits up and like have
you
fun.
You found love. Who'd have thought?
I remember meeting my friend outside the hospital going for my chemo and I'd had like 1 hour sleep because like me and Elaine spent the night together and she said, what have you doing? I was like, oh my God, I've been like making out the lane all night. And it was so weird to have that in the same like
conversation
as chemo.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So that's been a beautiful thing that's come out of it.
Yeah. And I think a lot with my family and like it's opened up like communication a lot more and it's made me more like brave to say how I feel about things and not keep everything in and just it's made me sort of think, well, what do I want and how can I be better and be more truthful in my life. And but I think me being like openly gay was a big deal because I'd sort
Huge.
Of kept it locked inside for years and years and I feel grateful that that's come from it as well because I feel like I'm more me now.
Well, I think, you know, one of the good things that comes out of experience like this, and we've talked about this before, is your perspective is, and actually, you know, you realise that, sounds cliche, but life is short and actually what have you got to lose, you know, and you kind of frees you up to tap into your true self and be like you say a surfer and be like actually I need this. I've always found that really difficult.
Yeah,
I've always been a people pleaser.
Me too.
And you know, don't upset people.
Love me.
Exactly. Want to make you happy.
Tell me I'm good enough.
Exactly. And so I think being honest and saying, you know, someone asking me to help with that, oh yeah, no, fine, yeah, I can do that. You know, and actually being able to, particularly more recently, like, I've had a lot of offers from help for like, which has been lovely, from family come and clean my flat and
amazing.
Stuff like that. Before I'd be like, oh no, don't worry, it's fine.
I can do it on my own.
Exactly. But now I've been like, actually, I need this. Yes, come round. And when they're round it, can you do that? And it sounds like such a minor detail, but I have always massively struggled with that because I've always thought like, you know, I just want to do what is right to please them.
But that really connects with what you said earlier about being vulnerable. And like,
yes.
And so you saying, I need help, that's being vulnerable. But why is it such a struggle to be like,
I need help.
And yeah, that would be really nice if you did that.
We need about another 20 hours of psychotherapy to get to the root of that. But that is so true. What is it about being that vulnerable? I don't know. Is it acknowledging all the things that you've not liked yourself for many years and feeling a certain way about yourself? That you're not good enough or you're stupid or you're not interesting or all those things, those thoughts that you harbour about yourself or I think I have about myself. So wanting desperately, I suppose, to, it sounds so pathetic and needy, but actually please others because I'm not worth it. If I can make them happy, then I'm worth something. I'm valuable. I'm a valid person.
Whereas actually you are hugely valuable and you are perfect as you are, and that's behavior and thoughts aside, it's the innate you-ness is perfect and is enough and all of those things. When you boil, take all the crap away and it comes down to you, intrinsic you, like that's the universe and that's the stars and blah blah blah.
And do you know what,
you're perfect in that way.
And I think that's what I was saying about all the love you get from people, all the things, the nice things they say about you, are all, you know, and I've, the last few years I've had some, you know, I feel like I've had some nice feedback in different situations and not taking it on board. But as it all sinks in, I realise all the things, those little things, my little weirdness and the, my ways, are the things that I've beat myself up for. Actually, I've realised that's what people really like. So it's really embracing that, isn't it? Like you say, all who you really are and being comfortable with that. You know, and actually that's what positive out of this is. You can actually look in that mirror and hear that back from people.
Yeah.
And actually be like, well, actually, you know, sorry, I'm going to take this on. I'm going to value myself. I've got nothing to lose. You know, make the most of it. Embrace who I am. And, you know, say what you need and what you want. Now's the time. This is, if you can be selfish at one time in life, and I think 100% now I need to focus on, in terms of my healing and recovery, and is being not selfish, but really self-centered. You know,
and but still even that feels like it's got a negative connotation, and I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't. And
it's your thinking about yourself, your
needing to nourish myself because having neglected it for years. I think being able to communicate with others, and I think actually when you do that and you are assertive, you say what you want, what I've realized is people don't respond badly to it. They're like, okay, great, that's right, I can do that.
The only person that you're really, it's you.
Exactly.
You're like, oh, but then if I do that, what will I think? And it's like,
yeah, exactly. You know. Exactly. We're all like little puppy dogs, like, help me.
Yeah. And like we said earlier, it's like you sort of realize that you've been going through your life and you've been filling up the petrol tank with like fear. And then only now you're like, oh, I don't have to like let fear
drive my behavior.
Yeah. Drive my behavior. And it's like being more mindful as
what
to
you
like
need.
Exactly. But sort of going, well, if I follow my bliss and follow what I want to do and what I'm inspired to do, then that's okay. Rather than, like we were saying before,
I'm enough. What I need is enough.
Yeah. And but just getting carried away with like your anxieties and your fear, and and then you're like, what's the point of your life for that?
Wasting so much time and energy, fretting over stuff that actually, again, through this experience, you learn how to. Excuse me, I think you learn actually how to let go of some of those layers. Actually, it doesn't matter, so many things. And again, it sounds so cliche, but the small stuff just doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Don't sweat the small stuff. You know, me spending hours getting super anxious over work, an email that I've sent late. Oh my God, I'm
going to
get
negative. What will they think about
the email? What will they think? They had no response. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to be homeless. Literally catastrophizing everything.
That's exactly what I would do.
You know, and literally. So then it's a cycle of anxiety. And so that's where a lot of, my sort of thought process before, but getting to the point where actually, so what if I'm late with an email? I'm good at my job, so what, you know, they're not going to get rid of me. I am valuable, and actually people understand there are circumstances that get in the way. So try, you know, being more comfortable with those thoughts, and rather than immediately going to the point where you're, you know, whatever you do, you're then punishing yourself and thinking the worst case scenario, when actually try and step out of those thoughts, and is that really going to happen? What's really going on here?
It's never about what it's about.
About
the email. It's never about that. Yeah.
Exactly. So I think, again, that's a really good thing that's come out of this in terms of how I interact with others, I suppose. So as much as the positive stuff I've got from other people, it's helping me, with how I respond to other people and assert myself and be true to myself. And you know, and shake off some of that really draining stuff, which probably, you know, wasn't good for my health, mind, body and soul, which, I don't know, maybe contributed to my cancer in the first place. So letting go of all those things and communicating with people the way we need to, and that's healthy, is positive and healing.
And I think it's like you can make yourself go crazy thinking, why me? Why did I get it? What did I do? Did I eat too many Snickers, you know, Wham bars in my case, or whatever? You can make yourself mad, but you can only think, well, from now, from today.
Exactly.
And then, so what can I do now to feel a bit better and like to feel a bit more positive? And and like you were saying about, none of us know how long we've got
exactly
on this earth, but you can control how you feel about things.
And it's like you were saying as well, it's trying to in that moment catch your thought and be like, hang on, and when you're having that negative thought, be like,
spiral, and it's very quick,
and try and recognize it, you know, and almost step away from that. Equally, when you're having a good thought, that's recognize that and trying to keep that going. And I think the more positive thoughts, the better it is. It's like we were saying earlier, stress and anxiety triggers stress hormones to be released, cortisol and various things, which attacks the body and your immune system and suppresses it. you know, affects your sleep and all sorts of things. Whereas you're having then healthy thoughts and positive emotions and getting sleep and rest, that's releasing positive toxins, I suppose, not toxins, the opposite, but positive things into the body.
And even if, but even just if healthy, it's not helping at all physically, mentally, you feel better. So that's great.
And surely if you're mentally, you're better, your body's going to be more rested and calmer, which just puts yourself in a better position to fight and recover, really, doesn't it? You know, so
I just think that you said about being mindful, it's really just catching yourself. Oh, I can see that I'm, because you're not your thoughts, even though we become so identified that we think we are our thoughts, but actually any spiritual practice you do will sort of distance you from your thoughts, and then you'll think, ah, so if you can just catch yourself and think, oh, I see that I'm doing that at the moment, that I think that really helps, because sometimes then you can stop it and you just think, I'm going to think about something else. You know, if I start freaking out about the health or a scan or sometimes if you just can't stop the thought, your brain, you have to give your brain something else to think about.
Yeah.
So it's like a go-to. When I think about that, then I'm just going to think about Amy Winehouse or, well, no, because that's quite sad, but do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Like
I
a song know. Or whatever. It's sort of, it's trying to find the good in difficult situations and
taking, and trying to see the positive, I think, in others and what's happening in that moment rather than focusing on your negative thought.
Yeah.
Because although it is, you know, a lot of people, it's about their own reactions, it's coming from a good place.
Yeah.
You know, so trying to remember that as well. And it's like,
you know, people are doing their best, aren't they?
Everyone's trying, and everyone's really wants to help, you know, remembering that, you know, and remembering that sometimes they'll never get it right.
Yeah.
You know.
But sort of honouring that everyone is just doing
what they can do
with their own capabilities,
own and like driven by their own issues,
and you don't know what anyone's been through. That's what I mean. But like someone's animal could have died, and that could be the most traumatic thing, you know. But you're not them. You've not had their life. They've not had your life. So it's just about, I think, like empathy and knowing that everyone's very different, and but we share these common things and like vulnerability. Like if you can, feel that we're all the same and that people just want to connect, isn't it? And that's what I think with your Facebook thing, it's like that is connection in a pure way rather than and honest. It brings people together, I think, rather than
absolutely,
because I'm not on Facebook because I turn into like a little bitch and I get really like competitive and but because it lacks your what you did, I think lacks like that's not that's life, that is what is going on, is loads of shit. Cover it with like glitter and be like, oh, we're all fine, and it's not always like that. It's
putting the raw truth out there.
So
good chat.
Tune in next time, and we don't know what we'll be talking about.
We'll work that out in between. Okay.
All right, thanks.
See ya. Bye.